Would you turn with me, first of all, please, to the book of the Exodus? And chapter 12. Actually, just a few verses in 11. Exodus chapter 11, and we'll start at verse 4. And Moses said, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. Against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man nor beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Excuse me, chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of month, shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it upon the two side posts and upon the upper doorposts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, its head with the legs and with the pertinence thereof. Shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. That which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. Shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Over in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, just one verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, that ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let's commend ourselves to the Lord. Father, we thank thee once again for this glorious privilege that we have to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to needy hearts, we pray. Open hearts and minds to receive the gospel for Jesus' sake. Amen. The Israelites were about to be delivered. They had been in Egypt a very long time, suffered much under their taskmasters. The Lord was about to deliver them with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm. And so he speaks to Moses and to Aaron. And he says, I want you to prepare a meal. Strange thing, this. To deliver a people out of bondage by having them eat a meal. Very strange thing. Normally it requires war, legislation, struggle to free a people that are in bondage. God doesn't do things the way we would expect. He has them to prepare a meal. For he is about to do something. The sentence is delivered in verse 5 of chapter 11 we read, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. The Lord has delivered his sentence. He has shown Pharaoh many great and wonderful things. He has showered Egypt with plague upon plague, each plague specifically designed to embarrass a belief in a particular god or gods of Egypt. Yet Pharaoh has hardened his heart. He has not listened to God. Indeed, he asked Moses, who is the Lord, that I should obey him? The Lord is about to show him who he is. He delivers the sentence, all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Egypt, in the scriptures, is a type or a picture of the world. This morning I would like for us to look at this situation that the Israelites were in and compare it to our own. We too are in bondage. We live in a sinful world that keeps us in bondage to Satan and to sin. Sentence has been passed. Death has come upon all men in that all have sinned. None of us are exempt. That sentence has been passed upon all men. We are all in bondage in Egypt. We are all sinners. None of us can escape the charge. For God is righteous. Later on in chapter 34 of this same book, God says, I will by no means clear the guilty. God is a righteous God. He is of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. He cannot wink at sin. He cannot just forget what we have done. He cannot just overlook the things that we have done in rebellion against Him, in neglectfulness of Him. He is the Lord, the righteous judge. He is holy and cannot overlook sin. And we therefore stand under the condemnation of God, as the Egyptians stood under the condemnation of God. But many remain unconvinced. They hear the sentence of God. But like Pharaoh, they ask, who is the Lord that I should obey Him? And we read over and over that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And finally we read, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Astonishing thing. To exhaust the patience of God. There came a point at which God was no longer willing to deal with Pharaoh. He spoke to him through circumstances. He spoke to him through his possessions. Finally, he spoke to him in a most personal way. And it may be that God may need to speak to some under the sound of my voice this morning. Have you heard Him speaking to you in the circumstances of your life? Have you heard Him speaking to you in those things which you possess? Have you heard Him speaking to you personally? Sometimes it takes quite a lot before people are willing to listen to God, to His warnings. We've all heard the old story of the man who was sold a mule by an old farmer, and the farmer told the man, this mule will plow from sunup to sundown. Hard working mule. Best mule I ever had. I don't know why I'm selling him to you. The man got the mule home and hitched him up behind the plow and attempted to get him going, and the mule just stood and looked at him. And he shouted at the mule and he whipped the mule and did everything he could, and the mule just stood there. So he went and got the farmer and he said, what's the problem here? The farmer said, well, what did you do? Well, I told him to go. I whipped him. I shouted at him. Ah, the farmer said, leave it to me. He went behind the shed and he grabbed the 2x4, walked around to the front of the mule, and he let him have it right between the eyes with all his might and main. He said, now speak to him. And the mule plowed all day. He said, like I told you, it's a good mule. It's a hard-working mule, but you have to get his attention first. And it may be that God has a 2x4 for you. What will it take? What will it take to those of you to whom God has been speaking, to those of you who remain unconvinced, what will it take for you to hear God is saying, to hear the warning of God that you stand condemned. Why wait till the blow falls? Hear now. Open your ears and hear. We all stand under condemnation of sin. The sentence has been delivered. But, thank God, the escape is also described. Verse 13 of chapter 12, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. In Ephesians chapter 1, we read that redemption is through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. The protection was the blood. And as the protection from the destroying angel for the Israelites was the blood of the Lamb, so for us, protection is found in the blood of the Lamb. Can you imagine the horror, the despair of the houses of the people of Egypt? All the firstborn sons slain. What a wail must have gone up that night throughout all the land of Egypt for those that were unprotected. But in the land where the children of Israel lived, there was silence. Blessed peace and silence. They were in safety. They had hope. They were protected by the blood of the Lamb. This Passover would end for them 430 years of bondage. How long have you been in bondage to the world? How long have you lived a servant to sin, a slave to the wicked one? And what hope do you have of release from that bondage? Are you in safety? Do you have any hope at all of release from that bondage? Are you under the protection of the blood? Or will it be for you as it was for the children of Egypt, and only a certain looking forward to of despair and horror, the gray horror of darkness? The escape has been described. You need only hide behind the blood of the Lamb to be protected. How simple a thing. How simple a thing. And yet perhaps you still remain unconvinced. Now this Lamb was a particular Lamb. A lamb is desired to provide protection. In verse 3 we read, the Lord says to Moses and Aaron, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. A lamb. And we might call this the world view of our lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a lamb. Perhaps one lamb among many. The great cry today is for tolerance. We must tolerate all religions. And the feeling is that all religions have some portion of truth to them, so we should pay them all lip service. And the feeling is that the Savior is just one Savior among many. He's just the Lamb. Just the Lamb. Isaiah 53, we read, He was a Lamb led to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Just the Lamb. Excuse me, and I can imagine some among the Israelites asking the obvious question, how can a little lamb do this? How can a little lamb provide us with protection? It's an obvious question. And it's a question that people ask themselves, I have no doubt, all the time, about the Savior. How can it be that He can save me? See, this lamb grew up with the family. They knew this lamb. In many cases, they might have a pet name for the lambs. They knew them by sight. Knew them even probably by touch. They were familiar with the lamb. And it may be for you, having grown up in this land where the gospel is often preached, that you are familiar with the lamb. You have an easy familiarity with the Savior. And to you, He is only a lamb. Care about Him all the time. But just another lamb. Hear how He died for you all the time. But He's just another lamb. Is that how it is with you? Is that why you remain unconvinced? Is that why you do not flee to the protection that He provides under His shed blood? Is He for you just another lamb? But He's not just another lamb. He is the lamb. We read in verse 4, if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. The definite article is used here. This is the lamb. And we might call this God's view of the Passover lamb. In 1 Peter we read that the Lord Jesus was the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world. This is the Lamb that we share with you this morning. The only Lamb. He is not just another Lamb. He is the only Lamb that can offer you protection. The only one that can secure your release from the bondage of Egypt, under which you have lived all your life. The Lamb of God. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the Lamb. The Passover had to be sufficient to satisfy all. Let me assure you here this morning, the Savior is sufficient to satisfy all the claims of God upon your life. He is sufficient to satisfy all the payment for your sin. He is the Lamb, the only Lamb that can do this. And this Lamb was marked for death. Marked for death. He was kept for but one reason: to be slain, to provide protection for the Israelites. There was one reason only, that the Lord Jesus came into this world: to provide salvation for guilty sinners like us, who all stand underneath the condemnation of a holy God. He was marked for death. The death that should be ours. The death that we deserve. He takes upon himself. One of the brethren prayed this morning, and in his prayer he mentioned the enormity of the sin that was committed in this little island just last evening. And then he mentioned the enormity of the sin of the whole world just last evening. When you think of the enormity of the sin that has been committed in the world from the time the world began till now, it's incomprehensible. But this Lamb, the Lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world, was sufficient to cover all that sin. All your sin. All my sin. I've been called to jury duty. I was on a case this past week where the sin of the world was evident. There are many things happening in this small island that we hide ourselves away from many times. That's why we have bars in our houses and even our places of worship. Because there is much evil here. I got to see some of it this week. God sees all of it. Every day. Every night. He sees all of yours. Looks into your soul even right now and knows your deepest, darkest, most perverse secrets. And knowing that, he has provided the Lamb sufficient to take away that sin. Why do you remain unconvinced? Are you still asking, who is the Lord, that I should obey him? He is the Lord that has provided the Lamb for you. That is why you should obey him. In verse 5, we read, Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. If a lamb is the world's view of the Savior, just another lamb, and the lamb is God's view of the Savior, the lamb foreordained before the foundation of the world, your lamb is the view of the person that takes to himself the Savior and makes him his. Is he your lamb? Can you say that today? As Paul said, the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that this morning? Or is he just to you another lamb? Your lamb is dispatched. He is our Redeemer. But what kind of lamb is he? Shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. First Peter 1, verse 19. The apostle said he was without blemish and without spot. A man who lived with him for 3 years, ate with him, slept with him, in all manner of situations. And he could say he was without blemish, without spot. I want you this morning to consider the perfection of Christ. Who knew no sin, who did no sin, in whom there was no sin. This is the lamb that is offered for you, a perfect lamb. You cannot offer yourself. You yourself know yourself to be blemished, spotted. Even without the words of Scripture to tell you that God has you under condemnation. You yourself know yourself to be blemished. You yourself do not live up even to your own expectations. All of us are like this. All of us are flawed. None of us are perfect. But he is. This one whom God has put forward as the sacrifice, the Redeemer, is perfect. Able to satisfy all the claims of God. Able to cover all our sins. A perfect sacrifice. Deuteronomy 15, perfection was required of the animals that were offered for atonement. God's standards are very simple. He demands perfection. This is why, of course, we cannot satisfy him. And he gave us the law, in part, to have us find that out for ourselves. And as we read the law of God, we find out what we cannot do. It's possible to have some sort of external compliance with the commands of God, to appear to other people, even our nearest and dearest, to be a good person. God's standards are higher. He demands perfection. Not only outward seeming perfection, but inward perfection. For God looks upon the heart, not upon the outside. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and thy neighbor as thyself. Which of us has done that? Which of us has done that? And so what we could not do, in that we are weak through our own flesh, God has done in sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. How careful Scripture is. Not in the likeness of flesh, He was really flesh. Not in sinful flesh, for He was not sinful, He was perfect, but in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came to redeem us. I will pass over you. The Scripture says. Verse 23, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in. This word, Passover, very interesting word. It's not just as if the Lord just flies over, as it were. It is a very particular word. And it's used most often of birds in two instances. When a hawk or an eagle kills a prey, strikes it to earth, it will hold the prey to the earth and cover it with its wings, lest another hawk see it and take the prey. And the word that's used for this covering of the wings is this same word, Pesach, Passover. And it's used in that kind of instance in Isaiah 31 and verse 5, where the Israelites are told that they will be defended by God in that manner, as a hawk defends its prey. The idea is also found in the New Testament, in Luke 13, where the Lord says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how often would I have gathered you to me as a hen gathereth her chicks? And we've all seen this, where the little chicks take shelter under the wings of the mother hen. Same word, this shrouding. This covering, in this case for protection. And this is what God did. He hovered over the Israelites, all those that had the mark on the door. It's interesting, and we may go into this a little on more carefully on the Wednesday night, but the whole door was covered in blood, the doorpost and the lintel, but the lamb was slain in the doorway, and the blood would have run out. And we'll talk a little more carefully about that Wednesday evening. And the whole door was covered in blood. What angel do you suppose, knowing of what that blood spoke of, would have entered the door? That blood spoke of the coming Passover, Christ, our Passover, who would be slain for us. What angel would dare cross that door to violate that? perfect lamb was taken. His life was inspected, as our Lord's was, for three and a half years. He was here upon earth. He was inspected. And even when he was taken to court, Pilate could say, I find no fault in him. He was killed. And entirely given over to a substitution for us, as the entire lamb was eaten in the Passover feast. And the blood has been applied to some. What about your doorpost and lintel? Has the blood of the Passover lamb been applied to you? Does God hover over you to protect you? Or are you still in danger from the destroying angel? Still under the sentence of death? Because you have sinned. The choice is yours this morning to remain as you are and stand with Pharaoh, who said, who is the Lord that I should obey him, and suffer Pharaoh's fate, or to join that happy band who have obeyed the Lord and taken the lamb and killed it and applied the blood to the doorpost and lintel. For make no mistake about it. It was your sin for which the Lord Jesus hung on the tree. Or was it? Can you say, he died for my sin? Can you say, I know that he is my Redeemer? All of us who have applied the blood have realized that we were responsible for the death of Christ. Have you realized that? Do you feel it? Do you really feel that you yourself were responsible for the death of Christ? For so it is. So it is. And the choice is yours this morning. Will he be your lamb? Or will he just be another lamb? A lamb. Our prayer is this morning that you will open your heart to the Savior and shelter under his wing. That his blood will be applied to you. We fear for you, lest you become like Pharaoh, who, after often hardening his own heart, God, having lost his patience, I shudder to say that, hardened Pharaoh's heart. We fear for you, lest in hearing the gospel so many times and hardening your heart, you may reach this position.